We're going to turn now to Dr. Lena Wen. She's the Baltimore City Health Commissioner we began following after the death of Freddie Gray. And she's got big dreams for the city. Dreams like putting telemedicine into every Baltimore school, getting a home visitor out to every teen mom, and creating what she's calling a stabilization center, a place where people who are drunk and high on the street can sober up and get into treatment. So how do you pay for those big dreams? How do you heal a city on a budget?
To be honest, that process isn't going as smoothly as I had hoped.
This is Dr. Wen from an audio diary she keeps for us.
Immediately after the unrest, we were bombarded with requests from people to help.
Private foundations, state and federal agencies, even the White House. Lena Wen says they've had dozens of follow-up meetings, some of which have yielded modest sums. Others haven't really gone anywhere.
I know that members of my team have felt that this is just one more conversation that we're having, one more call or one more meeting, and it's unclear where this is leading. And I just worry that the window of opportunity may be closing.
Now, she knows money isn't going to appear overnight, so she's also looking in other places, and one in particular seems promising. It has to do with an experiment that began last year in Maryland involving hospitals and how hospitals make money. I want you to think for a moment about what would happen if you upended the whole system of financial incentives for hospitals. What if you said goodbye to what's known as fee-for-service, where hospitals are paid for each procedure they carry out, each visit to the ER, each overnight stay? What if, instead, they got a set amount of money for the whole year, no matter who walked through the door? Would it make hospitals rethink the care they're giving? Would they think more creatively about how to keep their patients healthier? Well, those very questions are being asked in Maryland, thanks in large part to this guy.
My name is Joshua Sharfstein. I am the Associate Dean for Public Health Practice and Training at the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health.
10 years ago, Sharfstein had Dr. Wen's job as Baltimore's health commissioner. He later went on to a bigger gig as Secretary of Health and Mental Hygiene in Maryland. This was around the time Obamacare was being rolled out, and with it came a lot of talk about improving health outcomes while cutting costs. Sharfstein spent 18 months negotiating with the federal agency that oversees Medicare and Medicaid. And when it was over, Maryland became the first state in the U.S. to end fee-for-service payments to hospitals, and they instituted something called global budgeting. The system had already been piloted in 10 rural hospitals, and those hospitals liked it.
At the start of the year, they knew how much they would get paid. Didn't matter how many MRI tests, how many admissions, how many ER visits. They knew their budget. They knew, therefore, that they could make a margin by keeping their community healthier.
So under this system, you get a pot of money. You are told, this is the money you get. It's like allowance.
Right.
And this is all you're going to get. And so now it's up to you to make the most out of that allowance.
Right. And whereas before, the hospitals could really only make money by keeping the beds filled, now they could actually do better if their community is healthier and they were preventing admissions.
Because you get to keep the money even if more people don't show up.
That's exactly right.
So how do hospitals keep people from showing up? Well, the hospitals in the pilot hired care coordinators, people who followed up with the patients to see, are they taking their meds? Are they eating right? Some hospitals created primary care centers in the community to give patients an easy way to see a doctor without making repeated trips to the ER. And some found ways to support community groups working on issues as basic as housing, making sure people had a safe place to live. All right, so I get how this is supposed to work, but there was something still troubling me.
Now, what if people hear this and think, maybe my doctor won't give me the same level of service because now I'm not worth it to him?
Think of it this way. If you have a problem with your roof and you pay someone to fix it, and they come and fix it and there's still a leak, and they come out again, and they go, oh, we're going to do the whole job again. You're going to pay us all again. And you pay them. And then the same thing happens, and you do it again and again and again and again. That doesn't make any sense. But if you have a contract that says you're going to pay them and they're going to take care of the roof, no matter how many times it breaks, that they're responsible for the work that they do, then you're not entitled to anything less.
In other words, your roof better not leak or else they pay. Likewise, no matter how many times you show up in the ER, even if it's every week, the hospital is not raking it in.
People aren't rewarded, essentially, for care that just keeps people cycling in and out of the hospital.
This global budgeting experiment went statewide in January 2014. It was voluntary, but within 6 months, every hospital in the state had signed up. The Maryland Hospital Association says in the first year alone, cost savings topped more than $100 million. And the number of readmissions, patients who return for another hospital stay within 30 days, well, it dropped at a rate faster than the national average. So what does all this have to do with Lena Wen and her dreams for Baltimore? Well, Joshua Sharfstein calls global budgeting a game changer for public health.
Is it a game changer? Probably.
Here's Dr. Wen.
I'm hopeful that it is. It definitely is a game changer in concept, because the concept of global budgeting is that before, we're reimbursing for everything that we did to patients, not actually the care that we're providing to help patients not end up in the hospital in the first place.
Which means for hospitals, there's now an economic argument for public health. For the first time, a hospital's bottom line depends on its ability to reduce preventable illnesses. And that's an opening for Dr. Wen, whose day-to-day work is all about reducing preventable illnesses. She's proposed a citywide strategy. Getting everyone on board, she says, is key to attracting state, federal, and private dollars for projects she thinks will bring in big savings. And if hospitals see the money coming in, maybe they'll chip in too. So remember that stabilization center idea where people can sober up and get into treatment? Well, hospitals could invest in that.
If a hospital were to agree to provide nurses and nurse practitioners, that would be fantastic. Perhaps they provide funding. Perhaps they provide transportation.
In return, she says, the city would lighten their load, caring for costly patients whose problems can't be solved at the hospital anyway, problems like mental illness and addiction. But here's the thing. Maryland is already nearly 2 years into this 5-year experiment, and many hospitals have already started doing their own thing, hiring care coordinators and so on. So Dr. Wen has to work hard for buy-in. On a recent morning, she and her team gathered more than 100 hospital leaders, treatment providers, community health advocates, and others.
Good morning, everyone. We are really delighted to welcome you to this convening.
They talked about how the stabilization center would work, and they previewed some other projects that folks here might just be interested in funding with all those dollars they'll be saving. Here's one example, a database of high utilizers, the frequent flyers of emergency rooms. Cynthia Bookman-Webb chairs the emergency department at MedStar Union Memorial Hospital, and she says all hospitals could benefit from that data.
There's so much right now, so much duplication of efforts, and we know it. There's a patient that we'll have at MedStar Union Memorial that you know was probably somewhere else within the previous week. Nobody, there is not one consistent way to be able to share that data yet.
And she's also excited about another project presented, a web-based dashboard that would show in real time where people can go for substance abuse and mental health treatment.
If they can really get that dashboard where literally you will have, okay, where are the open slots? That would be ideal, because right now that is the problem. It's on all of our providers at every different institution to do that ourselves to make sure we have the most up-to-date information. That's where Baltimore City can really play a big role.
That's if they can get it built. The health department has a $30,000 grant to get it going, but clearly they need more. As for the stabilization center, they've got just over $3.5 million from the state legislature to build the place, but they need another $3.5 million to operate it. Lena Wen does have an idea of how they'll piece together the money for this dream. She's determined to see it open next year. And if and when it does, we'll be there. For a more detailed history of how global budgeting came about in Maryland, visit our website, npr.org.